Well, friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Sometimes you've got to wonder about Jesus, don't you? He has this habit through his life and even in the last week of his life of upsetting people, of causing them to be confused, disappointed, even annoyed. Take the entry into Jerusalem. Celebrated that a week ago on Palm Sunday. Jesus enters into Jerusalem and the people proclaim that he is the king. He comes reflecting that prophecy of Zephaniah. Behold, your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And people shout out, God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise to David's son. Yes, David. David, the great king in the Old Testament. The great one who brought Israel, the people of Judah, to greatness. To political greatness, a nation among the nations. Maybe Jesus is going to be that king for us, the people think. Maybe Jesus is going to be the one who will kick out the Romans and re-establish a golden age for the people of Israel. But what does Jesus do? Well, the first thing he does is goes to the temple. If he was going to be their political king, you might expect him to roll up to Pilate's palace and say, Pilate, your time's up, mate. Get out of here. But he doesn't do that. He goes to the temple. And there he finds some things wrong. He turns over the tables. He says to people, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. Later on, the disciples were marveling at the temple. And they said, and Jesus said to them, tear this down, this temple, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. Speaking, of course, about the temple of his body. Fascination with Jesus being the king. But of course, that cry turned a few days later to the cry of crucify him. And there's fascination too with the temple. The temple as an important place in the religious life of the people. I suppose it's worthwhile for us to think a little bit about what the role of the temple was and why it was so important. Way, way back in the book of Exodus, there were meticulous instructions about building the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was the place where God would come down and meet with his people. When they were in the land that God had given them, they finally built the temple under King Solomon, a permanent place of meeting, a place where sacrifice was made, where worship was offered, where God met with his people. But there was a shift over the years in the significance of the temple. The emphasis shifted from what God does to what we do for God. It was supposed to be a place where God reaches down in relationship with human beings, but it ended up as an expression of human beings reaching up to God. The same kind of thing happened when we think about the Torah, the Hebrew word for the law, the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. When the Torah was given, it began with these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Worship me. And so this law began with a statement by God about who he was and what he has done for the people. An expression of relationship with God. But over time, and for various reasons, and various places through history, that law, that Torah, as an expression of relationship to God, became morphed into a system of do's and don'ts, where obedience is demanded in order to form a relationship with God, rather than to live in a relationship that God had created. Seems like we humans are very good at this idea of we must reach up to God. It's funny how both the temple and the law, both big themes in the Old Testament, begin as an expression of God reaching out to us and human beings have turned it into our way of reaching up to God. And maybe that's why we don't always get Jesus. Maybe that's why he confuses us sometimes, annoys us, causes us to wonder. We're so used to reaching up to God, but Jesus reaches down to us. See, Jesus didn't come as a way for us to reach up to God. He came to open the way for God to reach down to us where we are. And the picture of the suffering servant that we participated in a few moments ago tells that story. Not a pretty picture. The people didn't recognize this suffering servant as one who comes from God. He didn't meet their expectations. They expected something glorious, something wonderful, something spectacular. What they got was a humble, suffering servant. But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. And while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent, all the while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God. But because of our sins, he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by the blows he received. All of us were like sheep that were lost, each of us going his own way. But the Lord made the punishment fall on him, the punishment all of us deserved. And yes, Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus is the one who, through his punishment, his suffering, his death, took everything that we deserve. It's as though on that cross, our sins are nailed there along with Jesus. Our death that we deserve is there, and Jesus took it for us. And instead, Jesus gives us life, forgiveness, and salvation. So what do you see when you look at the cross of Jesus? Is it about God's action for you? Is it about God reaching down to you, or you reaching up to God? Martin Luther coined the term the theology of the cross. Theology is just a fancy word that means thinking about God, studying things of God. Theology of the cross suggests that we think about God through the lens of the cross, that it's the cross that is so central and so important that everything else is coloured by. The cross is the most important thing, the dominating idea when we think about God. Only through the cross do we see God's truth, the truth about who God is and how God saves us, the choices that God has made for you and for me. And Luther contrasted the theology of cross with the theology of glory. And Luther saw that when we don't place the cross at the center of our understanding of God, we end up with a way of thinking about God that is about our ability to do good or to participate in doing good in order to win God's favour. The theology of the cross suggests that God reaches down to us in our need and meets those needs and lifts us up towards God and invites us in relationship with God. Theology of glory suggests that we reach up to God through our ability to do good deeds or our cooperation with God in being righteous people. And so it's all up to us. Theology of the cross says that I can stand before God all because of Jesus, nothing of me. All of Jesus, nothing of me. It's still a shock to see Jesus on the cross, isn't it? It's not what we expected. Can our sin be that important? Can our sin be so deep that God's only way is to set us right with himself is for God's Son to be subject to human violence? It's a shock. It goes to the depth of God's love for us. So why did you come here today on this highly significant day, this day of days in the Christian calendar? Did you come to draw close to God? I guess in many ways most of us did come here in order to get close to God. But I hope that somewhere you've discovered the truth that God draws close to you. That God draws close to you through the cross of Jesus. I hope that you see God drawing close to you. I hope that you see God's way of making himself right, of making you right with him. I hope you see God's suffering servant who is prepared to do whatever it takes in order to create a new relationship with God. I hope you see all of Jesus and nothing of you in that great action. All of Jesus, nothing of you when it comes to being made right with God. Yes, here we are in the midst of great sadness and tragedy of the cross, to declare that in this action, God draws close to us. And that God invites us into relationship with himself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love, which led you to this path of the cross. It led you as a humble, suffering servant to do that, to give your life so that you might reach out to us and open up a relationship with God, to open up heaven for us. On this Good Friday, help us to see your goodness in your action to us. In Jesus' name, amen.